Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
Not coming from Brent Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns. And yeah. You're seeing exactly
you know
what
why
people
it's not,
outside of Cleveland
you know,
think of the Browns, outside of Browns.
You know
fans.
Why it's not coming from those guys? Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a grand conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos. Maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
Woody in the backfield, CJ in the gun. First down, grab the throw. Guns it long downfield, right side. And Nico with the catch, right side of the end zone. And touchdown! Rock and roll! 29-yard touchdown pass from Stroud to Collins.
And he just separated from Zion McCollum. When the ball was in the air, Nico hit another gear.
Man, that drive with the punctuation being that pass to Nico Collins on the sideline of the end zone, or side of the end zone, gets the two toes down and the shin almost gets down in as well. You get the touchdown. It felt like, oh, this is a little different. Maybe this offense has found something with C.J. Stroud. That is not how this continued on. Unfortunately, the Texans fall 20-19 to the Buccaneers. Let's talk about the quarterback of the team, C.J. Stroud, because we've kind of talked about a lot of things. We haven't focused in on C.J. Stroud, a player for whom we looked at this as possibly going to be a huge game in, you know, helping either quell some of the conversations that have happened around him, or maybe, you know, lead to questions on how we feel about C.J. Stroud as the quarterback of this. Where did you end up landing after C.J. Stroud's 207-yard performance, one touchdown, no interceptions, although he tried, Lavonte David wouldn't catch it.
Well, he threw it right in his hands, between his hands.
Some numbers that look all right passing-wise, but if you watch the tape, it tells you something different for C.J.
Yeah, okay, so we've talked about C.J. Stroud here and there leading into this game. Leading into this game, I said, I believe, yesterday, this is a very, very important game for C.J. Stroud, for his confidence, for a little affirmation and confirmation and validation, I think is how I put it. With this offense, and just to be able to get the team going. So if this were pass fail, he failed, right? I mean, I don't think there's any question. You know, he failed.
I think that that'd be fair. I think that that'd be a fair
Figgy?
Thing. Because I think that there were some good things in there, but, man, the inaccuracy and the inability to get a
few of
those
plays. Missed
a
lot of throws. Yeah. I think he missed went behind somebody at one point.
Mm-hmm.
He was kind of thrown all over the place.
But before I get to the real question here, let me just lay out a couple more things. That was the lead in. That's the build up. It's gonna be a little flair for the dramatic here, Cowboy. Anyway,
wow.
So
that's gonna become a different level of insult on this show.
He missed a lot of throws, as you said, Figgy. He clearly, I mean, he has a confidence issue.
Yeah.
Right?
In fact, I think C.J. Stroud talked about the entire offense kind of having a confidence issue. Mm-hmm. But with him in particular, I think some of it's a confidence issue, or maybe that is too strong. It might simply be he has a constraint issue.
How so?
It feels very much like this offense, this system is, you paint by the numbers, you do what you're supposed to do in the system, supposedly, we'll get things right. And it feels like early on in this relationship with Nick Cayley and the way that the system is operating, CJ is trying to stick to the letter of the way that you're supposed to play this. And I feel like there's something to be said for a player of his magnitude, or what we believe should be his magnitude, understanding what the rules are, but then playing above it. In my brain, I've kind of seen it as, you know, when you were first learning to drive, or when you just taught your son or daughter to drive, and as they're driving, they're thinking about everything. Mm-hmm. Well, I need to hit my turn signal. All right, am I a car length behind the car over here? Mm-hmm. What's the uh,
What
rearview mirrors?
Yeah, what's the rearview mirrors look like? Is this person merging? Is this a yield sign? Yeah. Oh, okay, it's a four-way stop.
And you're clutching
the wheel. Then you go, then I go.
I like this analogy because you're also like clutching the wheel real time.
It feels like CJ is doing all that in this game instead of what we all do now, which is drive without thinking about those things, which allows us to do additional things on top of it, right? Yeah. And I feel like that's the place.
I can eat cereal, watch a show.
Which, again, I don't advise you doing. I understand that you do. Probably shouldn't do as much. But I think that that's the point I'm waiting for. However, right now, it feels like he's very much in there. And it sounds like I'm trying to make an excuse. But I do feel like that's happening because I'm talking with Seth. And we're seeing instances where CJ is doing, clearly going through his progression. It's like, hey, you could skip forward.
Yeah.
But I don't think he's at that place yet with this relationship. And that really hampers.
I'm glad you brought this up because that ultimately the whole lead up was to this point. How much of his confidence and his poor play is really him? And I know it's him doing it, but how much of the reason for his poor play and confidence lacking is really him? And how much of it is the situation that he's in? I'm starting to believe, CJ, it was truly a be careful what you ask for, wish for kind of thing. I think he got what he wished for. He just didn't sign up to be constrained like this and be coached in such a way that, yes, you're going to have opportunities to make adjustments and calls and blocking assignments on the line of scrimmage, but this is our offense with very, regimented run plays and very conservative routes and pass plays and being able to go through your progressions and, don't deviate. I really am starting to lean that, yeah, he got what he wanted for, but this was not the offense he wanted.
At least not yet.
Yeah.
We knew this was going to take some weeks to hopefully find a level of comfortability. It's just frustrating that in the meantime, you've had opportunities and you've not maximized them. Because I think that there is something to be said for some of that. But then I can also look at, I can't remember exactly when this play happens, but I think you'll remember there was a situation where, you've got CJ, you've got a running back to his right in shotgun. And CJ getting to the line on time, which shout out to Nick Cayley and the offense doing that. And he's like, there's clearly some call or some alert that he has. You see Lega Tomlinson pointing. You see Jarrett Patterson pointing. You see the running back touching his helmet almost as like, all right, I got it, whatever. Where CJ's pointing. They snap the football, and there's red shirts in the backfield. Yeah. I'm like, okay. So either we called the wrong thing or we had the wrong alerts or we just didn't get it blocked up, and I have a feeling it's probably more of the first one, that falls on CJ because that's more of his responsibility. And then the easiest part that we could say falls on him, when you have Justin Watson beating, even if just barely, beating his defender and he's in the end zone, you got to hit him.
Got to hit him.
When you have Xavier Hutchinson come open in a window, don't wait till that second window, hit him in the first one.
Yeah.
When you have Nico Collins come through his first window, even if your feet might be a little bit dirty, this is where you, as supposedly high-level quarterback, hit him in that first window instead of waiting for him to hit the second window where you have to try and fit the ball over a defensive back, and see, now Nico has to try and make an incredible play just to make the play. These are the things that I still am waiting, that I think fell on him, the hesitance, that I'm sure some of that is the system, but some of this is just, I need CJ to get to that point. And it might not be fair to be like, hey, you're just learning the system and two games in, I need you to be nailing this as if you were a super pro. But that's where we are right now, especially now that your team is 0-2.
Look, nobody here is saying that CJ Stroud is playing well, that what we're seeing is not real. No, he's not playing well. He's missing guys. All that is true. But I talked about the offense and feeling constrained. There's also this, even though he's never going to throw these guys under the bus, he's got to be in his quiet moments, in his reflective moments, he's got to be sitting there going, man, what the hell did y'all do to me with this line? I mean, you gave me this offense, for whatever it's worth, Laremy Tunsil could pass block, and you're bringing in Lake and Tomlinson and Trent Brown and Cam Robinson and Ed Ingram. He's got to be at least to himself saying, I'm running for my life again. How is this helping me? I just feel like that's got to be part of it too.
I mean, maybe. The rough part about it is, and I see you, don't make excuses for CJ. I think the context,
none of us have.
I think context matters. I think that those contextual things, honestly, some of that is not necessarily making excuses, but hoping that that is the opportunity also for growth, as he settles in and is able to not have the gears turn so visibly for him. But even with that happening, the expectation has been set, not just from us on the outside, whether it's media or fans or what have you. Expectations been set inside. We heard it last week, and I think that some of the things that you've heard from D'Amico have been tampered down to try and balance the fire that it seemed came the that they came with. D'Amico was like, CJ needs to be better.
Yeah.
Almost flat out. This week he gives you a little bit of the all 11 guys, I think, to temper that.
Mm-hmm.
But again, that's the expectation that's clearly happening with this team. They want to lean on his shoulders a little bit more. And with that higher level of expectation, in the same way that we've talked about the defense, he has to be better. Like, he just has to find a way to get it done. I do think, though, we can acknowledge the ways in which the team, whether from the front office, but then also to the coordinator, has set this up to make it a little bit even more difficult for the quarterback at this
point. Well, and to that point, I don't feel like we're making excuses. I'm trying to figure it out. You know, I'm trying to explain all the factors here that that clearly have this guy not being looking like the same player that we saw 2 seasons ago, noting also that he needs to play better. You know, he has not played well. I'm just trying to figure it out because, you know, we get occasional, you know, texts and calls and stuff. He's just not that good. Maybe I'll get to that point at some point. I still am in the place where I refuse to believe that he is just not what he was. I think it's in there. I think it's there. I think it's just a number of things, protections, all the things we're talking about, and play calling. I mean, the play calling is not – it's hard to kind of qualify this, but I never felt like Nick Caley had a plan to set up the next series, the next play, the second half. I felt like Nick Caley was just like, I have a bunch of plays. I'm going to call this one next. I didn't feel that sort of narrative that he was trying to build and getting the defense to start thinking one way and then do the other. We saw it with Tampa. You know, we noted earlier about how, you know, the way they were using their play action and Baker Mayfield, you know, throwing the out routes early on and all that. The linebackers all of a sudden running the ball. The linebackers were all of a sudden kind of caught in the middle. I never felt like they had that plan. It was just calling plays.
All those things I'm looking forward to, and I hate to sound like a coach in this regard, looking at the film and get a better idea, or the tape or whatever we want to call all 22. I want to get a little bit better idea of how those actually stacked up because I'm not going to lie to you. I'm not going to sit here and lie to you and say that I know for certain. I hear your feeling and I kind of understand where you're coming from, kind of agree with it as well. I just want to see it a little bit clearer. But yeah, man, this it's rough because I think I'm not as binary as is the guy or isn't the guy. It feels like I'm operating off of percentages. And I will admit, I'm in a place where I have less certainty that he is that guy, right? Mm-hmm. Like the likelihood that, oh yeah, he's definitely going to be the guy that you feel comfortable with once you give him $60 million or what have you per year. I'm less certain of that now because as more weeks go, you're having less instances where he's able to kind of rise above his circumstances. But I don't think that means we need to neglect the circumstances are still in a kind of an awkward place at this early juncture. I'm very intrigued to see if there's any level of agreement or if we're just going to get something entirely different as we turn to the phone line, because I'm being told that we got Larry and Stafford on the phone. Larry, what you got?
Hey, what's going on, Reggie, J-Lo? No, it ain't going to be no agreements, man. CJ Stroud is having a issue with his confidence because all he's ever known was success. And so when you have success and when things get a little bit harder, it kind of it shakes your foundation. Here's what the problem is, though, J-Lo. And, you know, me and you've been around this city and this game for a minute, man. And what you said earlier about Nick Caserio and his whole roots with John Carroll and John Brown and New England and all that other stuff, you're right on point. And let me tell you why. What we find is that when these dudes continue to chase the ghost of Tom Brady, they are not living in the real world of what we are experiencing now. CJ Stroud has the same talent that he had when he was drafted in 2023 and he played lights out in 2023 and taking us to the playoffs in 23 and 24. What he has had is some BS system that has no direction in terms of being creative enough to get players that he has on that offense open and schemed open to the point where they can go down and continue a drive. If you're going into a football game and your ass is 2 for 9 on third down, I'm going to assume that that's going to be a play calling issue. And if you decide at some point, I'm going to make my quarterback scramble or roll out to his left and then try to throw left when he's right-handed when he should be going the other way, I'm going to think that's a play calling issue. If I think that you have four downs to go 1 inch on the goal line and your ass put him in the shotgun 3 or 4 times, I'm going to think that's a play calling issue. He has no system, just like Bobby Slowick had no system. I tweeted out a picture earlier today. The Tampa Bay Buccaneers have Tom Moore, who was Peyton Manning's offensive coordinator in Indianapolis, on their staff, and he has resurrected Baker along with their offensive coaches, and that's why they've been able to move on from Lim Nelson or whoever's in Jacksonville. Also, another thing, that's why Shane Steichen in Indianapolis can go out and get Daniel Jones and make him look like a serviceable quarterback. We have no foundational offensive system because we're sitting here letting these young-ass coaches like Kaylee and then Slowick and all these boys come in here and try to learn while we're trying to win football games. I told Sean and Clint last night, fellas, and y'all might as well buckle up because it's about to get louder. I'd fire Kaylee ass this morning, and then I'd go get Kubiak and try to figure out how to get somebody in there that got a bona fide system and let him and Gerard go to work and get my quarterback up to where we know he could take us in our holler.
Yeah. I mean,
well, that last part ain't happening. No time soon.
I also, like, if you're going to get somebody in and try and see if you can install a whole new system on the fly, you will be in a bad place. I just love the idea that the Jacksonville Jaguars are being coached by the man from Taken. That's fantastic. I am so excited about this.
He does have a very particular set of skills.
No,
and he will find you. And I'll kill you.
I do think, though, I hear what you're saying, right? Like the play calling in, we talked about this, in the red zone, when you aren't able to get a touchdown on four downs. All of that is fair, but I think also fair is to then look at the instance where you do try and get the ball to Nico Collins on a double move and he's open, C.J. Stroud has to know the right ball to put it. You can't fire that in with some zip. You've got to put that in with some touch and allow Nico Collins a chance to get that. I think that is where I ultimately feel. That play or that set of plays is like, all right, Nick Kaley has to be better at figuring out, feeling out the situation and calling a play that fits what we're doing here. How about showing the possibility of running? How about maybe even just giving Nico Collins, Nick Chubb. There's a lot of Nicks and Nicos. Nick Chubb an opportunity to maybe do something there, even though you weren't running very well down the middle. But also similarly, CJ, you have your place to play, and right now you're not meeting your expectation, which is, that's the thing that sucks.
Three shots from the one.
Ugh. Four.
Well, four, but I think was somewhere else.
Was Nico getting pulled down at the one. Ugh, very frustrating indeed. And by the way, the coordinator for the Bucs is Josh Grizzard. I didn't want to say that one more time.
First year offensive coordinator,
but he was
with new offensive linemen.
He was the passing game coordinator the year prior. Mm-hmm. And again, they also had a similar system. But yes, not to be ignored. They had offensive linemen switch. They had to do all those types of things, and they were still able to get it done. So, look, I don't want to take away blame, but I do also want to have context in what we're doing. Regardless, Football Talk on Sports Radio 610 is presented by Paramount Plus. Sylvester Stallone is back in the original hit series Tulsa King. This season, Dwight faces the most dangerous adversaries yet, forcing him to fight for everything he's built and protect his empire. Stream that new season of Tulsa King on Sunday, September 21st, exclusively on Paramount Plus. All right, coming up next, it's about the time to hand things off to Figgy for the mixtape. What you got for us, man?
Yeah, so we got an update on Diego Pavia's bet with his mom and all that stuff. Mm-hmm. Apparently, it's another side to the story, and he had to explain himself on social media. Plus, Elton John is out here rocking his kneecaps.
What? I don't know what that means, and I'm excited to find out what it does next.
Yes.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
not coming from Brent Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns. And you're seeing exactly
why it's not coming from those guys? Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a grand conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos, maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
It is the Mixtape in the Loop Sports Radio 610. It's your man Figgy Fig holding it down on a Tuesday. Happy Tuesday to everyone out there. So I got a bit of an update on that bet. Remember we was talking about that bet around this time yesterday in the Mixtape with Diego Pavia and a guy by the name of Theo Von.
Yes, sir.
And I guess the bet was about Theo Von. If Pavia beats South Carolina,
yeah,
then Theo get to take his mom on a date.
Take Pavia's mom out.
Pavia's mom on a date.
Yeah.
And I thought that was kind of strange. I'm like, who would make a bet like that?
Mm-hmm.
Well, Diego Pavia decided to jump on Twitter to clear things up.
Was he crawfishing?
No, he wasn't crawfishing. It looked like it was a little more information that was left out.
Okay.
So this is what Diego tweeted. What Theo Von forgot is I said it was a deal if and only if he told Tate McRae at Tate McRae to let me take her on A1 date in Nashville. Twitter, make it happen with the little eyeball emoji. So I have no idea who Tate McRae is. I went to her, not Instagram.
Let me guess, hot.
Yeah, she's a musician from Canada.
Apparently, okay. She is 22 years of age, which explains why I'm not very familiar with her.
Yeah.
Okay. All right.
Yeah, so I'm not sure if Theo Von got some kind of connection with her, but I guess it was you scratch your back, I scratch.
Well, then it had nothing to do with the game.
I don't. My head hurts entirely on this because I started with, wait, so why are you pimping out your mama?
Yeah.
So, like, the whole thing is very confusing to me.
I did want to ask y'all, let's throw all of our history out the window, just us talking right here.
Just us boys.
Yep. So, if you had a chance to date whatever girl you want, anybody in the world you want, but you had to let your homeboy date your mama, take your mother out on a date.
Never.
Just one date.
Can't do it.
You could get the hottest chick, Taylor Rooks, anybody you want.
I appreciate
want.
It, and you picked a great name. Shout out to her. She is married, and happy marriage
just,
to her.
Just throw all
everything.
That out.
However,
just throw any hot girl you
want. I just
want
to make sure I was being respectful here. Yeah. Respectfully as happening.
Hey, nobody cares that she's married.
Yeah.
The hottest girl you could think of
nah,
that you
I
want.
Had to throw chop that man. Share with the class.
And look, let me be. It's not just dating your mom forever and all.
Yeah,
that.
Yeah. Just a date.
One date. Your homeboy.
Yeah. I think my mom would do anything for me.
Couldn't do it.
How about you?
I don't need to hear from
you. If I had the chance, I probably would, to be honest. Yeah. If it's just one date.
Yeah.
And I got the chance to get the hottest girl, whatever girl I want.
Girl of your choice.
I can spit my game and. Mm-hmm. Work my magic? Yeah. I would give that
Work
chance.
Work my magic.
Yeah. Just get me through the door, man. Just let me get my foot in the door and I can bust the door down.
He's like, me and Halle Berry go together. Yeah. Go together tough.
Yeah. Yeah. She's going to be like, oh, you from Cleveland too? Yeah. Okay.
I think I might be there with you.
Yeah. Yeah. All right. To switch this up, how many people you think would let their homeboy date their mom in order to get the Texans a Super Bowl?
A lot.
Yeah.
Yeah, a lot.
Especially on a day like today.
Yeah. I think, especially a day like today.
Yeah. I think a lot of people will pimp their mom out for that one.
It's 713. Absolutely not. My friends are animals.
You got to find the one respectable friend.
I wouldn't
friend,
let Stephon Diggs date her.
Oh, no. That's a whole different topic right there.
Yeah, exactly.
All right. It's the Mixtape in the Loop Sports Radio 610. So, Elton John underwent a double knee replacement.
Ouch.
Last year, and he decided to keep his kneecaps.
I don't understand.
Well, I'm glad you said that. Let's go to, I think it's a news outlet in Australia called Sunrise, and they got the report.
What I'm about to tell you is weird. You're probably not going to believe it, but Elton John has made jewelry out of his kneecaps.
Oh.
Yeah. The star detailing how and why he decided to gold plate his patellas.
Patella.
Oh, no.
It's removed. The left one first and then the right. I asked my surgeon if I could keep the kneecaps, which he was rather startled about. Then I rang you and said, would you prepare to, if I gave you the left and the right kneecap, to do what you want with them?
And they ended up in this very nice sort of...
That is amazing. That one. It's the, that's the right kneecap.
Oh, that's a good-looking right patella.
It looks a bit like an old artifact from Egypt or something.
See, I guess
he bronzed his children's shoe, except he did his knees.
His knees.
Yeah, his kneecaps.
I guess we're supposed to call it eccentric.
That, yep.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, yeah. Because mm-hmm. that's just cray cray.
Just imagine if you meet him and, hey, that's a nice necklace. What it? My kneecap.
I got to see this.
That is a talking point.
And I mean, my gosh. That's his kneecap.
Does it look like it looks an like ancient a kneecap. Egyptian?
He baked his kneecaps into. Look at the reporter's face. Did you see it?
Yeah.
Like, what are you doing? Look at that.
That really just looks like something that he got when he stepped off the cruise in one of them spots. That's, yeah. If you had told me, yeah, I picked up a Cozumel, I'd been like, yeah, I see it. That's nice.
Yeah.
Yeah, he's weird. Yeah. He's great, but he's weird.
I just never thought about that. You get a double knee replacement.
Yeah.
I said, can I keep the kneecap?
Can I
have that?
Hmm. All right. This is weird. I'm going to hold on to that thought. That one is for me.
Yeah.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
All right, it's the Mixtape in the Loop, Sports Radio 610. When was the last time y'all went to brunch?
Oh, well, my wife loves brunch. If I was in town, if we're in town for the weekend, we're going to brunch.
Is it a boozy brunch?
Yeah,
it depends. It's a mood. Sometimes.
What kind of brunch are y'all going to, though? Like, paint us a picture of what type of brunch it is. As soon as you pull up in the parking lot, walk in.
Okay, so it's a mood. Sometimes it's a little maybe fancier that she wants some... You know, Eggs Benedict and all that stuff, you know, champagne. Sometimes it's just like a really cool, what's that place we go to most often?
Just like a diner of sorts?
Yeah, it's kind of a tweener diner, like a little nicer, but not
like
exactly.
A First Watch or something like
along those lines, yeah.
Okay, it's not too crazy in there, is it? Okay, so, well, apparently somebody decided to take their grandmama to brunch on, I want to say this was somewhere in Houston.
Is this one of these young people brunches? Mm-hmm. Where they got the music all loud.
Yeah, and they kind of threw grandma off a little bit. And so we're going to go to Fox 26 with Isaiah Carey.
Oh, all right.
On his show, and he got the scoop on this.
But according to a viral TikTok video, a grandmother couldn't handle a brunch at a Houston club. The user says a woman was upset her grandchild brought her to a so-called ratchet brunch. Let's take a look.
My God, there's no place for a family. I'm 77 years old.
You want to hear all that loud music?
She's 17.
Miss Mabel didn't expect that after church. Y'all did her wrong.
She said, this ain't no place for a family.
That's right.
She looked like she just came from church, too. Like the typical old lady church look.
She wanted to go a nice buffet.
That's it. I agree with her on this one. Not just because... Brunch is like more about, it's not a club. I mean, it's not dancing.
Well, it is now.
It is now, yeah.
It was one spot I went to. I don't know if this place is still open or not, but it was called Nomad.
Mm-hmm.
I went over there. My wife was like, hey, I seen this good looking brunch place on Instagram. Let's go. I'm like, all right. So I put on my kind of Sunday wear with flip flops, shirt, jogging pants.
I'm like, you said Sunday wear, and I was like, that can go a lot of different places.
Yeah. So we pulled up. Loudest music you could find, yeah, man. That speaker bass was going.
People twerking on tables.
Yeah, the section. I'm
with
like
bottles.
They had bottle service going on, and I'm sitting there for the food.
I was just gonna ask you both. Would you like that?
Nah. The only time I would do that if I'm out of town. Mm-hmm. If I'm out of town, we there to party, then sure. Yeah. But I went for the food, so it seemed like it kind of threw the waitress off a little bit because she was used to the bottle service and all that stuff.
Mm-hmm.
And she like, "What y'all want to drink?" I'm like, "Water." And I'm like, "Here, you ready to order?" "Yes, I want this." That
to go.
Man, we seen we seen that lady like one time.
Yeah,
she like, bad. "I ain't got time for them, man."
Yeah, she was like, "The tip ain't coming through here." Like,
yeah, they come here to eat.
Mm-hmm.
So
who goes to brunch to eat?
Yeah. So
you'd have been better just taking Granny off the Lubies, man. Just go ahead and let her go.
You could have went to what's the place that's been getting all the attention, the country old.
Oh, you mean Cracker Barrel?
Cracker Barrel. Yeah.
The I'm like, country old.
Yeah, I'm like, yeah, Cracker Barrel.
She probably would have been happy at Cracker Barrel. Get her
that's
some
a,
grits
yeah,
or something.
Why not?
She would have been super happy.
Exactly.
At the church, you hungry? Mm-hmm. Or better yet, you could have just went to Frenchie's. At the church, that's the best place to go.
You would not have been mad.
No, nobody would.
Yeah, don't take grandma to a club like that. All right, so we in the Midstate, in the Loop Sports Radio System. We talked about how Jalen Rose kind of birthed all the new Jalen.
Too many.
A lot of them, and it's still going on.
I need to find middle names. I said this, and we need to call y'all different things.
Yeah. So I think we got to put Denzel Washington in this category. Yeah.
There's a lot of Denzels.
Yeah. So here's Denzel Washington with Jimmy Kimmel talking about his name and the different players that have his name in the NFL, and he kind of broke some news to me personally.
Did you know that there are currently four players named Denzel in the NFL? There weren't that many before your first Oscar. There were zero in 1987.
And this is how you know they named themselves after me. Because, wait a minute, because my name's not pronounced Denzel. My name's pronounced Denzel.
Oh.
I'm Denzel Jr. My father's Denzel Hayes Washington Sr. I'm Denzel Hayes Washington Jr. My mother would say, Denzel? And we both show up. So she said, from now on, you're Denzel.
Well,
that's how it got pronounced, Denzel.
Wow.
Ain't that crazy?
For a while there, I thought that we've all been pronouncing it wrong, and even he pronounces his own name now Denzel.
Yeah, and so he kind of go as Denzel.
Only because of that.
Yeah, but his real name is Denzel.
We couldn't just call him Junior. that was something.
Would have been a lot easier path, wouldn't it?
Lil Denzel or Lil Denzel.
Yeah.
Big Denzel and Lil Denzel.
Mm-hmm.
That's how some families do it, right? You just Big John and Lil John.
Yeah.
Fortunately, it didn't work for me because my dad was a junior.
Oh, you're the third?
You've been Trey. You just been Trey.
Yeah.
Nah, I don't know why they didn't go with Trey, but
it was like, what's easier than Trey?
See, they call
Boom-man.
See, they call my dad Eddie, Ed, Edward. They call him all of that.
Mm-hmm.
Junior, they just Bootman.
Bootman.
Yep.
Bootman.
Yeah. All right, I'll get y'all out of here on this. I like to do my little special salutes. So I want to give a special salute to a lady by the name of Isis. Yeah, that's her name. Isis. She's in California, and she is currently fighting the DMV because they're trying to make her change her personalized license plate that say, "I am Isis."
Oh.
That's what it say on her plate.
Why does she not want to?
That's her name. She says she likes.
Who wants a plate that says, "I am Isis"?
I mean, it's her name. It's literally.
But I am Isis? Yeah.
That's her name. She is Isis.
Understood.
So they going back and forth with the courts and all that stuff. So salute to Isis.
Okay, you're saluting Isis.
All right.
That's her name.
That wouldn't have gone over about, what is that, how many years ago?
I don't know.
I don't even know how many.
That's her name. What's crazy is she actually got the personalized plate.
Before? But,
no, and they realized,
she got
we can't do this
Yeah,
anymore.
So now they're trying to make her change it.
Okay.
So she refusing to change it. She said, that's my name.
Yeah.
And I'm proud of it. So I'm going to make my plate say, "I am Isis."
Okay.
There's a lot of going on with that right there.
There is a lot. There's a lot.
I feel
going
bad
on
for her, man, because that's her name.
Part of it is I mean,
that's kind of like people with the name Katrina. Every time you hear Katrina, you think of the hurricane.
Yeah, someone just ruined your name for you.
Yeah, or Karen. Karen, that name is totally ruined now.
Yeah, but all Karens are the same.
I don't think that's fair.
Is it weird that I've never wanted a vanity plate, though?
I'm not a big vanity plate person.
Mm.
Yeah.
Yeah,
I don't even know what it would say.
Gone fishing. I don't know. Yeah, something like that.
OG sauce.
OG sauce. Yeah.
Hey, now I am a fan.
I remember. I think back in the day, Cody Stoops, who used to work here, he had a personalized plate that said Stoops.
Well, I mean,
I was like, that could be one person right there.
That is apt. Yeah. That is very much what you need. All right, so there you go. Figgy's mixtape every weekday right here on Sports Rail 610 at 1:20 p.m. Coming up next, let's circle back to the Texans real quick before we hand things off to the fellas of the drive. What does this offense do well? Let's answer that question next.
Reaction Tuesday rolls on. You heard the big voice, man. It's in the loop. John Lopez, Reginald Attitude, Figgy Fig. Appreciate you rocking with us to this point. Hopefully there's been some catharsis, or at least just in us getting our thoughts out and reacting together after a Texans loss. Really frustratingly in the season, the home opener there at NRG Stadium on Monday Night Football, 20-19. You got walked down. And part of that is because the offense, having the lead, having opportunities, wasn't able to do what they needed to do. And at some point, I just asked myself, what is it that this Texans offense does well? You mentioned, I think at one point you had quoted Office Space, which like, hey, what exactly is it you say you do? That's right. And I kind of wanted to get that, obviously just to try and figure it out, but then also pursuant to what could you possibly turn around to lean upon as you're trying to find some offense here in the immediate future, you know?
Oh, I like that part of it. Like, where are you maybe seeing some seeds? Because the easy answer is they're not doing very much well at all.
There's not. Running the football did not work very well. You were able to get a couple of runs that worked out decently, but you were running into brick walls, mm-hmm. running into Vita Vea in the middle of the line. In fact, 63% of their runs were between the tackles, which we had admittedly already acknowledged that the Tampa Bay Buccaneers are more stout there than they are on the outside. Mm-hmm. So that was frustrating to see. It's not like we could say that they passed the ball particularly well when they were throwing the football. I know C.J. Stroud was at least not, you know, had some issues with his accuracy, even though there were some instances where you had some guys open. They had 9 targets to get the ball to Nico, but it's not like they converted on a large amount of them. The thing that came to mind for me as they seem to do that pretty well is execute screen plays, but they didn't do it a ton
mm-hmm.
over the first couple of weeks.
Yeah, and you're not going to make a living, just running screens.
No, because
they lose
their efficacy after the first few times that you run them.
No, you really, it sounds like such a simple question, but sometimes those are the best ones because you really have to kind of squint. Okay, here's where I think I see a seedling. You know, I see just the hint of what could possibly be something. What could possibly flower, to continue the metaphor. But,
sorry, the text comes in from the 832, and I see your wrong answers only answers that are coming in. The offense does a great job of getting off the field. The Bucs did have like 70 offensive plays.
70 to like 46 or something like that.
Now, sorry, as a tangent from the original question that I've already thrown out here, how much of that final drive do you put defensively on them being on the field a good amount, especially towards the second half?
Well, remember in the first half, I was chatting with you in the press box.
I do remember chatting with you.
And, well, yeah, that was that. And they had a really long drive. Texans went 3 and out or short drive, and then defense had to go back out there. And I mentioned to you, I said, this is going to take a toll. This is taking a toll. And obviously, since the first half, it might have been the first quarter.
Which is funny because it didn't. That was the second quarter.
But we'll say, ultimately, those were the body blows.
8 minutes and 44 seconds of a drive that was 14 plays, 72 yards, and a touchdown. The next drive was a 6-play, 13-yard drive that ended with a punt from the Tampa Bay 25.
Yeah, but what I'm
the
saying
drive
is,
drive after that, another punt, right?
Those were the body blows that in the 11th round, you're thinking, well, why is it hard to keep my hands up?
Yeah.
Because of what happened in the first quarter. So I get what he's saying there. I mean, the other thing that they do pretty well, and I saw this video for the umpteenth time, is C.J. Stroud has a pretty decent little dribble between the legs and crossover when he's warming up with a basketball before the game. That got some run yesterday, too. Mm. Everybody's like, oh, quit warming up with a basketball. Throw a football.
He's been doing that for a minute.
Ever.
Yeah, QBs warm up in weird ways, and those things become magnified when things aren't going well. But, yeah, that's one of the frustrating things right now is it doesn't feel like there's a lot of things that I go, this is definitively something that they do well.
Yeah, I feel like I'm kind of avoiding the question.
It would be
helpful. Because I can't really think, like where's the seed, you know, the seedling? I think maybe, and I'm really squinting here, literally, maybe when, and this goes full circle, when they just let him throw a deep ball to Nico. He doesn't think as much. He goes, there's my guy. I'm going to trust him. We saw the touchdown. And just not think as much. When they're not thinking as much, they're better. And it brings us full circle to the whole offensive line discussion and the Nick Cayley discussion and all that.
Yeah, and maybe to kind of work off of that, is it just when they're doing the simpler things,
mm-hmm.
they can actually make that happen, and that speaks to ability to execute what they're trying to do. And hopefully, as things slow down and the offensive system hopefully becomes more simple to execute because it's become ingrained, maybe that helps. But yeah, I'm going to be honest. I'm not very optimistic right now about this offense because of the learning curve that you've had. The only thing that makes me a little optimistic going into week three is you're moving off of playing these better teams to teams that are a little bit, you know, more your speed, you imagine, when you get to the AFC South. But even then, there's some show and prove that's absolutely necessary from this offense all the way together, whether you're talking about CJ, whether you're talking about, hey, getting open with some of these guys. And some of this is like, hey, using the right personnel, right? When we talk about getting open, the dude that comes to mind during training camp is a guy that hasn't gotten very much burn on the offense, and that's Jalen Knoll.
Well, look, I think that's what maybe could be a sign of things to come. And we'll absolutely have to talk about this more this week. Is Jalen Knoll, Woody Marks, and Jaden Higgins, give me a reason why they don't deserve to be on the field at least a little more. Just give me one.
Yeah, and D'Amico Ryans, when he was asked about that, I don't know how I felt about his answer, because in some ways it logically makes sense, right? When you talk about, you know, knowing, because he was asked specifically about Knoll, and he said he's excited and happy for Jalen Knoll, knowing that he's capable of doing this, returning, whatever. He just needed to prove it to everyone else. Expect him to continue to make plays and expect him to progress as our returner, was what D'Amico said about Jalen Knoll. So it's like, oh, he's going to have
the return
job.
Be returning the ball.
But we're still not certain that he gets on the field. Just keep doing what, you know, keep doing what you're doing has basically been the refrain. And I feel like, hey, give these guys that have an opportunity to do something special, especially as the margins are always thin, put the guys out there that feel like they can maybe widen that margin.
Look, I started the show talking about Nick Caserio and kind of going in on him. I'm going to end this part of the show with another Nick Caserio reference. I still feel like this kind of points to him and his influence on the offense, because he's a guy like the old Bill O'Brien, you know, rookies, they don't know anything. You know, you're relying on, you trust veteran guys more, you know, and so why is Dari Ogunbowale on the field as much as he is? I think it's because they like him. They like the way he works. They trust him, and he's a veteran guy. When Woody Marks had a block that just about killed a fool, while Dari Ogunbowale got run over for a crucial sack, you know, what else does Woody Marks have to do to prove that he can block too?
Do it over 4 years and kick a field goal.
That's what I'm saying. Like, it's just a little bit of a slave to the Patriots way, the Caserio way, or whatever it may be.
Yeah, and with Dari, I think that this is like a little bit longer over the tenure. They have a level of trust to him, but I think they need to be quicker to revise some of these things.
Mm-hmm.
And that might have hurt them quite a bit in the game that we saw yesterday.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know who. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.